RNIB has been working on a huge piece of work. It's research around travel and transport. Still have Ross Meegan and Eric Matthews with us.
Thanks, Alan. So yeah, back in May, we released the All Aboard report on blind and partially sighted people's experiences of getting around by bus. And now we've published the next in that series of reports, which is the In My Way Everyday report on pedestrian journeys. So Eric, who is our policy lead on inclusive journeys, is going to tell us about that report and how people can get involved with sharing it.
Okay. Eric, when we talk about travel and transport, I never think of walking or being a pedestrian. It's always trains and buses and cars and taxis and planes and things like that. But, you know, to get to these and to get from these, we do have to walk. But therein lies a lot of issues for blind and partially sighted people.
Even if you're walking to the bus stop or the train station, that's walking. And obviously some journeys, like to your local shop or the school run or whatever, depending on where you live and what you do, might well be a whole journey done by walking. So we really wanted to make sure we weren't overlooking this, as we do find there's a lot of particular issues cropping up on our streets, especially with things changing quite a bit in the last few years. We really wanted to have a better idea of how it's going for people and what their experiences have been like.
And when you asked for people to feedback on the travel and transport, they really did. There was a huge response to this.
Almost 1,200 people, just short of 1,200 blind and partially sighted people responded to this survey that this report and the bus one that we've done and the train one we're going to do all feed into. So it was a massive survey. It asked people about all three of those aspects of their lives. Where it took people kind of half an hour, 45 minutes to fill in all of the questions we had for them on all those different subjects. And we really appreciate all the input that we've had from people. So it's really great to have that much interest and that high a response.
Now, we couldn't go through the entire report, but we'll give some details later on how people can get more information. But I imagine there's a lot of commonality, a lot of problems that people are having out there post-lockdown, lots of changes, and probably things we don't think about when just walking on our pavements or crossing roads. Were there some items which really stood out as real bugbears for people?
We found almost everyone, 92% of people have had to walk into the road to get around a street obstacle, which could be a car parked on the pavement or pavement dining furniture, tables and chairs outside a cafe or a pub, led people to have to walk in the road, which obviously is really scary, especially if you've got a guide dog or the people with you. You don't want to kind of put yourself or your family at that kind of risk. We asked how many people had collided with something in the 3 months before they entered the survey, and 1/3 of people had, just in that short amount of time, just in those 3 months, had some kind of injury due to a collision with something on the street, whether it be a parked car or an A-board or any kind of obstacle. 11% of those actually ending up needing hospital treatment. There were some stories of people breaking bones or ligaments and things, you know, really serious.
It really highlights the importance of this. It's not just up to a few things in the road that people have to get around. There are real injuries that come from this. And I suppose people take a real knock in their confidence as well, you know, perhaps not wanting to go out and about and therefore having a bigger impact on their everyday lives, because they think, well, am I going to get, you know, from A to B on the pavement? Is something going to happen to me? Am I going to have to walk out in front of traffic?
We did ask about kind of mental health, like anxiety and stress, and 45% of people, almost half, said that they had experienced some kind of mental health issues because of their experiences as pedestrians. But also at the end of the survey, there was an opportunity for people to sort of add anything that they wanted to say. And a lot of people said exactly what you said here, that a bad incident or even a near miss sometimes, where something didn't quite go badly wrong, but very nearly did. When you have, you know, a near miss with an e-scooter or on the pavement or a cyclist or something like that, people said it made them either not want to go out anymore, not go out on their own. They had to wait until they had a sighted person to accompany them, or did it just make them walk more slowly, more carefully, make fewer journeys than they used to? Things like that, comments like that were really common.
You mentioned that word that strikes the fear into my heart when I go out, Eric. It's e-bikes and scooters on pavements. There just seem to be more and more of those at the moment. But, you know, there are some things like overhanging hedges and bins, which members of the public could really, you know, make a massive difference if they just cut the hedges back, took the bins in when they're supposed to as well.
Absolutely. The problems of overhanging hedges were really, really stark. Actually, a lot of the injuries came from that. So they might hit someone in the head or the face, or even things like a little scratch you didn't notice and then it gets infected can be quite serious for people with particular health conditions and that kind of thing. So overhanging hedges are really one of the surprising ones, I think, for some of us analyzing the report. People weren't expecting that to be such a big deal, but it really does show the difference that kind of anybody can make. It doesn't just make the hedge look nicer, you know, it makes the pavement outside safer for people as well. So it's kind of a shame to think that these various things are contributing to people just kind of thinking, oh, I would go out, but no, actually, you know, things like people saying that they try to avoid even having errands or appointments on bin day in their local area, because just having the bins everywhere just creates so many obstacles that it's just not worth it. Or they missed a bus because they didn't allow enough time to get around all the bins on their street, things like that.
Here's an interesting one for you, Eric. Then, did people mention those horrible floating bus stops or problems with crossings?
Yes, actually, there's a section in the report on crossings as well, finding out things like, do you have to go a different way, a longer way, you know, just kind of a certain route through your neighborhood in order to use crossings that are accessible to you? Are there roads that are not safe for you to cross due to the lack of accessible crossings? A lot of those were getting very high numbers of people kind of saying, yeah, that's me as well. 73% said there are roads in their area that are too unsafe to cross because of the lack of accessible pedestrian crossings.
Some amazing statistics coming out here, Eric, you know, for such a huge response as well. It obviously is a very, very important topic, and it is people's safe mobility and safe independence as well. You have this report now. What will happen with that? What do you do with those figures and that information?
So we have recommendations in the report about how to address these problems, a lot of which have fairly straightforward answers. You know, things like maintaining pavements properly at the same level as roads, people cutting back their hedges, whether that be council or kind of private households. So we've got some for local authorities, for your local council, and we've got some for national view, be that Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, or kind of the Westminster government. So we're campaigning in the future using these stats and these stories to help make our case for why things like maintaining the pavement is as important as maintaining the road. And with the government's increased interest in active travel, especially since the pandemic started, there really should be more, you know, effort put into us having walking and pedestrian infrastructure that is safe and suitable for everybody.
Lots and lots of food for thought there, Eric. Can you get involved as listeners? What can you do to make the pavements safer and easier to get around? Ross, you've got some news on that.
As Eric mentioned, the report contains sort of a series of recommendations from the local and national government. And we've prepared a really simple template letter people listening to this can use to write to their local councillor about these issues. So if you go to our website, rnib.in/travel-report, and you'll find the template letter on that page. And all you need to do is enter your name and your postcode so that the tool can find your local councillor, and you'll have pre-populated template letter that you can edit if you wish. Or if you'd rather just get it sent off to your councillor, then you can do that. And within that template letter, it includes sort of the findings from the report, and importantly, what steps that local councils can take to address a lot of the barriers. So, please do take that template letter and share the report with your councillor.
Yeah, please do get involved and share that report with your local councils. But Ross, if people would like more information on RNIB's campaigns team, for the work you get involved in, or maybe they have something they want to ask you all about, what's the best way to do that?
To get in touch with us, you can email us to campaigns@rnib.org.uk. You can call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. If you go on your social media platform of choice, or whether it be X, Blue Sky or Threads, you can find us using the handle RNIB Campaigns, and we post really frequent updates to those channels about everything that we're doing.
Fantastic. Well, we look forward to the next report, which will be on trains. But for the moment, to Ross and to Eric, thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.